All right, let me put my glasses on so I can see you.
Okay, and you look smart.
And I look smarter than I am.
You know what? I'd like to say that we have the best room tone of any podcast.
Is that right?
Yeah. I don't think a lot of people do room tone.
No.
And so, one, we're on board. We're better off than most for that.
Yeah.
But then when you actually, I think, lay the room tones side by side, we've got a good room tone.
It's a nice pastel.
It is. We got a little cars going by, maybe a bird.
Mm-hmm.
It's good stuff.
I love it.
I should start the show.
You should start.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Sneaky Drag. Oh, no.
Anytime you want to start.
No, no, no.
I haven't started yet.
Happy podcast day, everybody. I'm Ian Boothby.
I'm David Dedrick.
And this is Sneaky Dragon episode 260. I want to say four.
You are
Did
right.
I correctly guess your podcast age?
You have correctly guessed it.
Ah, well then I do not have to give you this toy.
No, you don't. In fact, here's a funny little thing is that we forgot to mention for episode 262 that was officially 5 years of us doing this podcast.
Oh, happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Yay.
Because when we did the 250th episode, it's numerically interesting, but mm-hmm. because it's 12 months of or 52 weeks of shows,
right?
100 oh wait a second, that's five. Oh, 100 260 was, oh fuck it, I'm stupid. I'm terrible at math.
That's
five
fine.
Years 6 years, everyone.
Don't do math before you've had your caffeine. Just drink your caffeine right now.
I will. You're right, that's my problem, not my terrible ability at math.
No, but the caffeine helps your brain. It's good for exercise, it's good for brain stimulation, it's a tonic that helps the senses.
That's what I like to say,
you know. And let me just demonstrate this. A boy in the third row, we've never met before, have we? No, sir. All right, sir. Now try lifting that heavy barbell next to you. This one, sir? Yeah, that one. Just lift it. Cannot, sir, it's too heavy. All right, now try drinking this cola. Okay. And now try lifting it. I can't. Why? I got diabetes. Oh, well, you better go seek treatment, son. So anyway, but for you, you should enjoy it.
I do enjoy it.
Yeah. That was from back in my days as a snake oil salesman.
Is that what it was?
Yep. And I would go town to town and oil snakes.
Mm-hmm. That's what you did.
Yeah, because their snakes were too dry.
Yeah.
And I'd just oil them up, mm-hmm. lube up a snake, mm-hmm. is what they said. People would come up to me and go, I'll give you some money to do something similar. And I'd go, no.
It's funny.
Because I had class.
It's funny that I had a job as a snake wringer.
Oh, did you?
And I would, of course, squeeze out the oil.
Okay.
Into a bucket.
I thought you would pick ringers in snake fights.
That's right.
And you would bring a really highly trained snake.
What I did. I trained them as bell ringers. I had six snakes, and they did. They could perform quite nicely, actually. They carol of the bells.
Oh, especially around Christmas
yes.
time.
Yeah.
You know, that's when people think Christmas time, they think snakes and bells.
Mm-hmm. When don't use rattlesnakes. People think there's something wrong with the bells.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, the other problem is if you do it during the winter time, they're just going to freeze because they're cold-blooded, right? So you got to do it only in the warm areas. Speaking of warm areas.
Speaking of warmth.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
What is that
just saying, speaking of warm areas. I just came back from Florida. From Fort Lauderdale.
Okay.
Which, you know, was what I was going to talk about. And then, like, my week ended up happening. And it was like, holy shit, I've got other things to talk about. But I just want to say to the people who ran the Paradise Con, thank you. It was lovely.
It seemed, from what I saw of the banner they made for you.
Good banner work.
That they're on top of it.
Yeah, they're really on top of that. It was so nice seeing families in costumes. I love seeing that. Like, mm-hmm. a whole family dressed up in a Batman theme where they all pick or Star Wars theme. Mm-hmm. There's one, a little girl I sort of insulted accidentally because I thought she was Kylo Ren.
Okay.
And her mom was Princess Leia. Right?
Turns out she was J.C. Duggar.
No, she was Darth Vader.
Oh.
And she said to me, and she was, I don't know, maybe four. She said to me, Kylo Ren doesn't have a cape. That's a good point. He does not have a cape. I should have picked that up.
He does?
No.
He doesn't have a cape?
I don't believe he does.
I believe.
She does not think he does.
Isn't
Darth
when, doesn't
Vader
when
has
he,
a cape.
Doesn't when he fights?
He's got a robe, but he does not have a cape. And full-on cape for Darth Vader.
Yeah.
The one thing I wanted to say was, because her mom was standing right next to her, dressed as Princess Leia, I wanted to say to her, oh, that's your daughter? Right. Whatever. And be that guy. But I didn't.
Is that a internet suspicion that Rey is...
No, I'm not saying Rey. Kylo Ren is Princess Leia's
Sorry.
Son.
Yeah. But then you wanted to say...
Right, daughter. Wait, no, if it was Darth... No, but if Darth Vader... No, because it would have been. If she's Darth Vader,
okay,
then Princess Leia, I'm saying like, hey, that's your daughter.
Oh, okay.
So
okay,
it all works out.
It doesn't make...
It
yeah,
makes sense
you're right,
if your mom and your Kylo mm-hmm, and we're all doing you're, the family.
I was mixed up.
Yeah, you were.
I and, just... It was my thought that everyone who... Either everyone was in cosplay... Or they look like they are doing cosplay as the Duggar family. That's my thought of what everyone in Fort Lauderdale
yeah,
would look like.
Yeah, I wonder what you'd cosplay the Duggar family as.
Uncomfortable.
Yeah, very uncomfortable. That is true. Yeah. Then there was a whole bunch of Harley Quinns. Holy cow.
Mm-hmm.
So many Harley Quinns.
So how many of them are classic Harley Quinns?
None.
They're all
not a one.
They're all the Daddy's Little Monster version.
Everyone had that shirt. Everyone found that
it's
shirt.
It's so easy. Yeah. You just go to Hot Topic.
Then you get a hammer.
It's the Hot Topic.
And you get a hammer. And not Harley hammer. Quinn, you right? get a bat.
Yeah.
Yeah, she doesn't have a hammer. Thor has a hammer.
If he had a hammer.
What would you do?
He'd hammer in the Valhalla.
Yeah. He'd hammer in Asgard.
He'd hammer in Asgard.
All over this land. He'd hammer in Midgard. He'd hammer in Niflheim.
He'd really
hammer
here.
In Hell. Hey, hey. All over the Bifrost.
Nice.
There you are. Uh-huh. But the there, we folks. Ran into the problem that we've run into every con we've been at for the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what the cons do nowadays. And again, everything was great up until this point, and all these cons are fantastic. The one we went to in France, fantastic.
Yeah.
All these cons, wonderful people, great, great, great. This is a fucking pain in the ass.
Okay.
They buy the tickets on Kayak or some such.
Yeah.
And if you buy, say, the tickets on a website,
yes,
the website will go, oh, those two flights, they won't connect in time. You haven't left enough time to get from one plane to the other. But if you buy them on Kayak, then they will just pick these ones, and the computer algorithm doesn't show
oh, okay.
that there's, you know, oh, this airport yeah. is too big for you to get from there to
mm-hmm,
there.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, in 5 minutes, you could get to your flight. So we end up running through the airport like mad people
yeah.
To try and get our flight every damn time. And it's
is
always
this...
on the way back,
okay,
and it's always
say,
after,
it's always... Yeah.
you know, like... 8 hours of flying
mm-hmm.
and then you're bolting through the airport and that's what happened with this. Like our, you know, we boarded
mm-hmm.
in Florida
yeah.
and then we're going to go to Seattle and our flight was starting to board if everything was on time it would start to board while we were still in the sky, you know, 10
wow.
minutes in the sky
yeah. yeah
yeah and then, you know, but then it was late.
Oh,
so now it's like we're just watching the time burn. And, you know, and we weren't the only people on the flight with this problem. This was a
yeah.
very common problem
yeah.
that, you know, all these kayak-esque,
yeah.
you know,
escapades.
Setups. You know, it looks good on paper. You're like, oh, yeah, of course you'd be able to make it. But you can't. So all these elderly people are, like, running through the airport. And you're just, holy shit. It was, we ended up making it. Because we would have been, you know, stranded.
Was the theme music from Chariots of Fire playing as you're running?
No, we need something. Run, Lola, Run.
Oh, okay.
Was playing.
I don't. Is that electronica or something?
Yeah, it's okay. electronica. But there was a medical emergency on the flight in Seattle that held up that flight.
Okay.
So because of that sadness, our sadness became less sad and we got on the flight. But only because something bad happened. Everything was okay.
He was faking it for you.
I do not think he was.
I think he was.
All right, fair enough.
He faked a heart attack so you guys could catch the
flight.
That,
I think, is what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, we did make, we made the flight. But that has happened every con we've been to for about the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm. I was on a flight home from London, and the person had a heart attack, and they refused to get off the plane in London. They insisted
what?
On being returned to Canada.
No.
Yeah.
You don't have that option, do you?
Apparently you do. If you are insistent enough, they landed in Gander, Newfoundland. To get him off as quickly as possible. It was an unscheduled stop. And he refused to get off there. Or she refused. I didn't actually see the person. So they took off from there. Landed another unscheduled stop in Montreal. Then they got off a plane there. And then we did a scheduled stop in Toronto.
So what's happening
scheduled
to
stop
the
in Calgary.
In the midair? Everyone keeps checking on them every
14
so often.
Hours later.
Still alive?
14 hours later, landed in Vancouver.
What? Okay, but so in the flight.
Mm-hmm.
So what, did the stewards just walk by? How you doing? Still,
yeah,
still going?
I guess. I guess he didn't think it was
chewing
serious
some,
enough
chewing
to.
Some aspirin?
I guess he didn't think it was serious enough to.
No.
I've had plenty of these. I'm fine. I don't need to stop. Keep going.
It feels like you could have.
Do you like my impersonation of that person?
I do. If there was a doctor on the flight, could the doctor override this person's self-destructive wishes? Is that a possibility?
I don't know. I don't know anything.
I can almost see it if it was like the States, right? Because if it was the States, you wouldn't want to have your heart attack in the States because it would financially devastate you.
I think
life.
It would in London as well.
You would not be in any way covered in London?
No. You're not, unless you live there. But this was a tourist coming home to Canada, so.
I think there's some coverage of tourists. Really? Now I'd like to look that up. This might be one of those Daves. He sure is sure, but he sure ain't right.
Well, Lisa. Situation. I mean, we buy health insurance when we travel.
Same here, yeah.
So I can't speak to, because when we went on a different trip, Lisa got a terrible ear infection, and she went to see a doctor in the Orkney Islands. But we had health insurance for our trip, so that was taken care of by our travel insurance. So I can't speak to if you have coverage. I know that when Mary went to live in Quebec for 6 months, we had to buy coverage for her to live in Quebec, health coverage. Our provincial coverage here does not cover Quebec, or if you went to Ontario, I imagine it wouldn't cover you there. So you'd have to buy coverage.
So if an American's here in Canada, and
they're visiting,
have a heart attack,
yeah,
they go to our hospital, mm-hmm. they have to pay full. I don't know.
Yes,
I don't know. This sounds like a Dave thing. Because where you sound sure, but I don't think it's you're sure. But, are you sure?
Yeah, because they're not paying premiums.
No, I get that.
We all pay premiums, right?
No, I understand that. But I think there's something.
Like, we don't really have like true free healthcare.
Well,
we pay for.
I completely understand.
I mean, we pay a nominal amount. I mean, the amount of money, like when I had cancer, for whatever weird reason, they presented me with a invoice for how much it cost for my treatment.
But you didn't have to pay it.
No, I didn't have to pay it. It was like over $100,000 for this treatment that I'd had for over 2 years. And aren't you glad that you were alive? You could be dead and then you could owe this. I don't know what they did it for. Like, it was weird. But it had like itemized, like it showed what like the cleaners cost and what the nurses cost and the doctors and the operation. I wish I'd kept it. I probably didn't.
This is an interesting question. I would like to look this up and see
look it up.
Is.
But yeah, because I'm, like I say, if you travel to Ontario, I mean, all hospitals will provide some free coverage.
So if I go to...
Even in the States.
So if I go to Montreal.
Yeah.
And I'm visiting.
And you don't have travel insurance.
Because I'm traveling in my own country.
Doesn't matter.
I don't think that's
right. It's not free.
I don't think that's right.
You're not contributing to Quebec's healthcare.
Uh-huh.
You're not paying premiums there. You pay premiums here in British Columbia, but you do not pay premiums in any other province.
I've moved from Montreal to Ontario to British Columbia.
Yeah.
Now, so when I moved from Montreal to, now admittedly I'm a kid, but let's pretend I'm an adult. I moved from Montreal to Ontario.
Yeah.
I haven't paid premiums yet in Ontario because I just moved.
Mm-hmm.
If I get injured in any way in Ontario, am I on the hook for full medical thing? Because I left the province?
I imagine so.
I don't think this is true at all.
When
people leave a state,
yeah.
like a go from state to, well, that's a different situation because they don't have universal health care there.
So they're covered by a blanket insurance caregiver who is... nationwide.
Yeah, I think this is one of those situations of like two guys who don't know the right information. So neither of us can argue this effectively.
When my friend used to work at a bookstore in Langley called Salt Lane Books, and the original owner, he had problems related to malaria, and he had some problems with his internal organs.
Okay.
So he had to go to the hospital. He had not paid his MRSP. He hadn't paid his premiums for healthcare.
Right.
So he had to pay $40,000 for what he had done, and that's here in British Columbia. As a citizen of British Columbia, he was charged because he had not been paying his premiums. He owed that money. He hadn't been contributing to the.
He owe in back payments $40,000, or because he hadn't been paying?
Well, they had, did the operation and everything, so then he owed that money for.
No.
What was
but my question,
done.
But he didn't owe like $40,000 in back payments. So here's the thing. It's like if he goes in.
Yeah.
And they go, hey, you haven't paid in 6 years, 10 years, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you haven't paid in 10 years.
Yeah.
That amount for 10 years is not $40,000, right? So he doesn't owe $40,000 worth of fund. So if he goes, I'm going to pay my back payments now.
I don't know if he could do that. I don't know.
Why couldn't you do that?
I don't know.
Like if you go with any tax, because it's a tax basically, right?
No.
It's not a tax?
No.
It's not a tax. Revenue Canada doesn't come after you for this?
Revenue Canada does not come after you for this.
I don't think you're right about any of this.
You pay
really?
Provincially. You pay your premiums. You don't pay federally.
Okay.
Like, the federal government has nothing to do with healthcare per province. The provinces look after their own healthcare.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're paying, and you live in British Columbia, you are paying the British Columbia government for your healthcare.
Okay. This is interesting to our American listeners. They're like, how does Canadian healthcare work? And the answer is,
confusing.
We don't know.
Confusingly.
We don't know. So we will look this up,
yeah,
and we will
we'll
get back
up.
To you on the situation.
So
we'll see.
To add some more hearsay to the basket.
Please do. And
I was,
some heresy, if you'd like, as well.
Some heresy as well.
That'd be a good podcast, Hearsay and Heresy.
Yeah,
yeah.
There you go.
Just mix it all up
if you're interested in that. But a friend
and hairspray.
I should
we'll also
say
talk about hairstyles.
One of my workmates, one of the people I work with was telling me that in the States, some hospitals will go, like, they'll close because they have done too much free operations and stuff like that, that they can't maintain their operating expenses because they're giving away too much medical treatment for what they're, you know, what they're, I guess, also getting from people who are paying for services or through insurance and stuff like that. So if the hospital will do a certain amount of free coverage of people who have, you know, aren't covered by health insurance, which I imagine is fairly common at certain income levels in the United States. And so the hospitals, you know, can't turn away people. So they do these operations and stuff like that. But there's still expenses involved, and the doctors and everyone else still has to get paid for this work. So the hospitals are, you know, basically giving away money to people to do operations. And I guess, now I don't know if this is true or not. American listeners can tell us if this is true, that hospitals actually shut down because of I guess, accumulated debt from...
Now, has that happened in Canada with hospitals here? Or everything is covered by the government? Everything's
covered
anyway,
by the government, yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I mean, everything's covered by the government in the sense that the government runs a ginormous debt in order to provide us with all the services we want. And then
Canada feels pretty good about.
Then we get all mad when
what do we get mad about?
When taxes are high and
but we don't want the health care cut.
No, of course not.
Yeah,
we want
that's something
we want to pay less.
Flag we wait. Of course, you want
to pay less and get more.
Yeah, absolutely. But given the choice, we will pay more as long as we get the health care.
Because
that's a load of stress off your back when you know that, you know, if you get stress on your back, you'll be able to take care of it.
Yeah. I've never paid premiums in my life, though.
What do you pay?
Because I always worked at a job that paid for me. Or Lisa's worked at a job that's paid our premiums for us.
I was kind of covered under a couple of my unions, but not currently, no.
Yeah, because you're self-employed. So.
Yeah, and I think I'm a little behind in my payments now. I better get on that.
Yeah, you better get on that.
Yeah, I will. That's what I just said.
You don't want to get a big bill.
But I don't think that happens. Mm. I really do not think that happens. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You live in your pie in the sky.
Nope.
I live down here in hard reality that I made up.
Sometimes we do make them ups. That's fine.
I don't know.
And then this is why you go to our website. That's why you go to sneakydragon.com, because you get corrections on there.
Our Department of
Corrections. We have discussions, and we are incorrect. Mm-hmm. And, you know, unlike, you know, certain political figures in America today, we will apologize when we're wrong, and we will correct ourselves, because we do not find that weakness. To be wrong.
It's a little weak.
Is it?
Yeah.
Does it make you a cuck?
Does that
make you a cuck?
What's that?
Oh, you don't know what a cuck is?
No.
Oh, it's you know what? You're kind of lucky, actually. Maybe I shouldn't bring you into this world yet.
Yeah,
is the big alt-right insult, is basically you're like a cuckolded fellow. You're weak. You're a weak man. Can't even hang on to your woman. Look at you. Shame on you. And there's some other horrible subtext to it, but it's become the insult.
Mm.
And it's dumb.
Pretty much.
Oh, it's a really dumb insult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well.
But it's what all the racist kids are saying nowadays.
Sure.
And bigoted, misogynistic kids.
Mm-hmm. I'm more on the alt-delete side. Right. That's where I reside.
I was trying to make a joke with like Maltesers and like alt-teasers, but I couldn't do it. Mm. I just couldn't do it. I'm just too sleepy. I apologize. How's your week been? What have you been up to?
I don't know.
You did a fancy wrap of some doors you showed me.
Yes, I did do that. That was fun. That's the most fun I have at work, actually, is when I get a really complicated, hard to get put together. Don't worry, everyone. That's why I put the top of my bottles, because I always knock them over because I'm a gesture person.
Yep.
That's the most fun I have at work, is when I'm given like a complicated, full of like a bunch of weird things that have to all go together into a dunnage wrap. And then I have a lot of fun. But this is our final week.
Because what you do for a living is?
I always ship, I ship garage doors.
Yeah, for some of the new listeners might not be hep.
Oh, they might not to be the jive. That's true. But this week is exciting, because this week is our last week of shipments. And we stop tomorrow, the 16th, is our last day of shipping stuff for the new year, for the rest of the year.
Right.
Next week, which I believe
nothing
is...
but caroling.
Next week, we just stand and carol. Man, that'd be fun.
And eggnog in a hot tub.
It wouldn't be that
fun. Eggnog in a hot tub. Nope. Hot tub full of eggnog.
You're making it soaking in it. Not fun at all. I like eggnog, but a hot tub full of eggnog. next week, we just kind of do cleanup and get stuff sorted out and get ready for inventory when we come back after Christmas. And then I'm off. I do half day on the 22nd. And then I'm off for... till the 27th. So that's pretty nice.
Yeah. Is this your first big vacation since getting on the job?
Well, we had some time off last Christmas too. So.
Okay.
What's nice is, well, today we had Nando's today from our person or the company that supplies us with our like the door openers and whatnot.
And Nando's is
Nando's Chicken.
Yep.
Is that not world famous? It's a favorite restaurant of One Dimension. Everyone, I mean One Direction. It's One Dimension. Sorry, that's a mistake.
Are you thinking of the band The Five Dimension?
Fifth Dimension. Yeah.
Oh, Fifth Dimension. Yeah, sorry about that.
That's okay.
Are you thinking of the Jackson Five?
I'm thinking of the Jackson Five Dimension.
Okay. Were you thinking of Joe Jackson?
I'm thinking of Joe Jackson Five Dimension.
Oh, okay. Very good.
Yeah. So it's kind of fun. And then next week we're going to get a pizza lunch because we have a customer who buys a lot of doors from us. Brings us pizza.
When I hear you talking about this, it does feel very much like your high school kid is very excited about pizza day.
Oh yeah,
it's like we're getting hot dogs.
Well, we already have a long established. I think I've mentioned this last week. Pizza pie day.
Yeah, pizza
which is
pie.
Friday.
Now, is this different than this pizza day?
This is different because this is pizza. We're not paying for this pizza that's just coming to us.
Oh, so it's no pay pizza day.
It's no pay pizza day. Yeah, so it's
but
nice.
Pizza pie day you pay.
Pizza pie day you pay $5 for
okay.
pizza.
Yeah. Nando's, do you pay?
Nope, that was free.
Oh, no dough Nando's.
No dough Nando's. Very nice.
Good.
And so it's good. So it's nice at this time of the year because customers who like us bring us like donuts.
Yeah, I don't want to like poop on it. You know, I like the idea, you know, when I hear you talking about like, and we're getting pizza next week.
Yeah.
You know, there's part of me that wants to go, well, you're an adult. You could have pizza anytime you want.
Yeah, but
you could
free
just
pizza.
Go like, you could go, heck with it. I'm going down to the store and buying myself as much pizza as I want because I'm an adult.
But that's true, but not free pizza.
That's
like
true.
It's nice when someone gives you stuff. That's pretty awesome.
But you're excited still about Pizza Pie Day, even though you pay.
Well, yeah, because it's a fun tradition.
There you go.
We've done it four times now. So.
One more time and it's tradition.
No, we established a couple shows ago that you said three times is a tradition.
All right.
Sticking to that. You can't keep bumping it up.
Okay.
Because next time I say it, you'd be like seven times is a tradition, Dave.
I know, but I've said it three times now. So
ten
now
times
tradition.
Is tradition. That's true.
And you've corrected me three times, and so we now have the tradition of you correcting me.
And then on the 28th, we're going out. We're leaving. We're going out. We're driving away from our workplace to go have Greek food. So that'll be fun.
Like an odyssey.
Yeah, that's right. Be the Iliad all over again.
Yeah. Go out there, get that golden fleece.
I think you think of Jason and the Argonauts. That's not the Odyssey.
All right, fair enough. What did they do in the Odyssey? That was the
Helen
of Troy?
That was the incredibly long return from Troy after the Trojan
War. Is the Cyclops involved in the story
he
I'm
is.
Thinking about?
He is.
All right.
Him and Scylla and Charybdis, the raging torrents that almost swallow the ship.
Okay.
The two kind of monstrous torrents.
And their children, the bit torrents that are always downloading
illegal movies. The sirens are a part of the story.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are all, I think they're part of the story. Yeah, with Odysseus returning after the Trojan War. Because he gets lost and spends a lot of time wandering around while his wife worries about him. And he doesn't bother sending her a message.
Speaking of sirens, have you heard that that's going to be the Suicide Squad sequel?
Sirens?
Yeah, it's Harley Quinn, and it's called Sirens of Gotham.
Okay.
And it's all villains again, but it's the female villains of Gotham City. So it's like Catwoman,
Poison Ivy.
Okay. You know, Harley, and the rest.
Oh, that's right.
All the others.
I can feel you
favorite
slowing down
villains
there.
That are women like Magpie, maybe? There's one. She was one. She likes shiny things. And all the others.
Did you say Catwoman?
Yeah, Catwoman.
Did you say her, though?
Yeah, and Poison Ivy and Harley Quinn.
The three of them. That's
it. And it's always weird when they have shots of, like, Arkham Asylum, and then you see, like, it's all the dudes, and then there's, like, Poison Ivy is there. It's like, why is she there?
Yeah.
Isn't like, she wouldn't get hurt because she can control the guys.
Yeah.
So there's no problem. But it's like, why is Arkham co-ed? Why are you so loosey-goosey with this? That doesn't seem safe.
They seem overly loosey-goosey
These
anyway.
Seem like horrible people. Maybe you should not have them all in the communal lunch area, as you seem to always do, because a fight is going to break out with Killer Croc.
Well, we don't know who's going to be in that movie, but we can guarantee that it will be terrible. Because they really have no clue.
Margot was good. Now, the woman who plays
Margot Robbie.
There you go. Yeah. She was really good. So who the heck knows? Yeah.
But if you like her a lot, just watch Wolf of Wall Street. She's way better than that, and it's a good movie. Unlike Suicide Squad, which is a big pile of stink.
Yeah. Here's the thing about Suicide Squad is she was acting the hell out of it, and Will Smith was acting the hell out of it. And both of them, you could see, like, if you took those two out and put them in a movie that made a lick of sense, it would not be too bad. Same with your Batman. You just go, take Batman out of that horrible Batman v Superman thing and put him in something that makes sense. Maybe he'd make sense, but mm-hmm. you know, there's a whole bunch of don't care and sloppy garbage.
don't know what they're doing.
I have wakened from a dream, but wait, no, he's time traveling in my dream to tell me. Oh boy, what a mess.
Yeah,
what a goddamn mess. But I don't know. The ladies of Gotham, that might work. We'll see.
Well, it's funny seeing, you know, having been to a lot of films this summer, not a ton of films, but a few films this summer, seeing Doctor Strange and even, you know, other films. It's weird. Like, and those films are okay. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. You know, it's okay.
Hacksaw Ridge,
it's okay. But seeing Rival, you know, it's such a great movie that you just walk out of it and you're like, oh, that's why I like movies. Like, there's just that time when you see a movie that's so gets to you, or you like it so much that you're like, oh, I got to go see more movies. But you just never, it's so rare that you experience that. Because most movies, you know, they're kind of bland. They're kind of derivative of each other, you know, whether it's Doctor Strange or whatever. They follow a carefully established mm-hmm. plot that we already, you kind of know what's going to happen going into the film. And it pretty much follows exactly what you thought. The jerky doctor gets in an accident. You know, it's still a jerk.
Hits the notes
every time.
And,
right?
and the problem, you know, I was having this discussion earlier with my upstairs neighbor. She was talking about like going to see movies and going like, I know, but why wouldn't I just stay home and watch TV? It's better.
Mm-hmm.
It's better. Why wouldn't I just watch Black Mirror?
Yeah.
You know, that's better than going to some sci-fi movie and going, oh, there's the twist, you know, or I can stay home and watch like three of these and get much more satisfaction, or, you know, go see an M. Night Shyamalan, or go, or I could just watch Westworld. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Characters in this.
Mm-hmm.
Excitement. Mm-hmm.
But I mean,
more satisfying.
Sure. But I mean, Black Mirror, you could conceivably do a film like a Black Mirror episode.
But why would you want 90 minutes of that? Why? I mean, I know
there are 90-minute episodes of Black Mirror.
There are, but there's a difference between watching a 90-minute thing on TV where you control it, get up, do something, down.
Yeah, but what I mean is that you can't... I mean, but that's what I like about movies is the immersive quality of them, which you can't get in television, you know? So when you see a movie that's...
And it's communal.
Which really great. Oh, and it's communal, too. That's part of the fun of seeing a big film. And, you know, it can work... You know, but,
I mean, that's
you know, we went and saw Doctor Strange together.
Yeah.
And I don't think, say, unlike Guardians of the Galaxy, where you felt a real thrill of, you know, of something, you know, of seeing something new. And even though, you know, it does kind of play some of the similar changes, it does it in a way that's very...
But Doctor Strange, you saw almost exactly what you expected to see. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's like, what do you want? This. Here mm-hmm. it is. Thanks.
Yeah.
Whereas Guardians of the Galaxy, you went in going, what's this going to be? All right. Let's see how you pull this off.
You're right. You're right.
You did. Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, that's different.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm in. And you're excited by the end. You're like, oh, I saw something a little fresh and new.
And, you know, most of the boring parts of it aren't very long. So, you know, you just get past those parts and you're like, oh, okay, the movie gets good, you know, and... The Karen Gillan character, you know, she's quickly dispatched. You're like, goodbye, boring character. You know, just stuff like that, you know, where you're just, you know, it's
they're
just...
sisters, they're rivals. Yeah, who cares? We don't.
Yeah, that's right. Like,
we don't care.
Yeah.
It's not.
And they're just kind of the flip of the same coin. So when they're fighting each other, you're just kind of like, well,
This will be great later where she changes and becomes a good person or an anti-hero and pulls a Loki.
That would be interesting.
Fights on on the good guy side.
Sure.
And you don't know if she's going to betray. That'll be fine later. And you got to do this to get to that. So it's okay.
If it pays off in an emotional way, then that's good. But if it plays changes that you've seen a million times, then who cares? If you're not invested in something or it's just a cliche, you know, that you've already seen and you know what you're watching and you're just like, okay, well, I can see what's happening here and I know how this scene's going to work out and what this person's going to say to the other person. And it's not even real. It's just like fake movie talk that no one in the real world ever says anything like that to each other. And you're like,
Yeah, again, just getting back to the TV versus film. I mean, there are obviously really good films that are out there, but the experience of something like, and I wasn't the biggest fan of Westworld, but I can you know, say that it was really something.
Yeah.
Like, it really set a mood and a tone, and it went somewhere, and it did where, and I just finished up Ash versus Evil Dead, the second
season.
Not quite
there yet.
And they really delivered near the end, especially on that, and it was just like, This is better than this kind of... If I want to see this as a movie, they couldn't have done this, you know, even with the same people.
It's a different experience.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's fine. I mean, if good TV should be good, and good movies should be good, and they should be different from each other.
And then you look, well, look at a Doctor Strange versus, say, you know, the TV Marvel thing that came out this time around, like a Luke Cage or whatever like that. And some people are like, well, this was a boring episode of Luke Cage, or it went off the rails near the end, you know, but there still was like a lot to it, and it was satisfying. And again, you didn't know where that was going. And it just was like, whereas like Doctor Strange is fine and it's enjoyable, but it's what you wanted, sir. Here's the steak you asked for, grilled the way you asked for, with the potato on the side you asked for. Enjoy the steak you wanted. And it's like, thanks. What's this mishmash over here? Oh, this is the chef's, you know, creation. It's like, that's really good.
This is the other mishmash. This is the chef's suicide surprise.
Oh, but the other thing they do with the Marvel TV things is, you know, Doctor Strange, when you hear the concept, you go, oh, that's going to be a good movie because he's magic and it's neat and he's a good actor and it's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. When you hear, you know, we're going to make a Daredevil TV series. Huh, well, that's a stupid idea because the movie was awful.
Yeah.
And it's like, and hey, guess who's in it? Elektra. You liked Elektra, right? No. No one likes Elektra, and her movie was one of the worst things ever. You don't want to see that.
I have not. I've seen scenes from it, but I've never watched it.
By the way, how about this? Guess who we're gonna bring in? What? Who's who? Everyone's favorite, the Punisher.
Mm.
Oh, you mean the guy who had three bombed movies that people did not care for? Though that guy, we're gonna bring in all those your favorite characters that everyone fucked up before, and make them work. And you're like, oh, you pull it off. And like, how about this blaxploitation character? Oh, that. Mm, how are you gonna make that work? How about like this? Yeah, all right. Yeah, you made it work. Okay. That was a nice surprise.
Yeah.
But you didn't expect it, you know? And so, you know, when they deliver on the things that they deliver on, you're like, oh, that's fine. Good for you.
Mm-hmm. But even those kind of play they know the routine, and they go through. It may take 12 hours to get through the routine, but it's still the same, you know, has all the second act's low point and the.
Yeah, though something like, you know, AKA Jessica Jones. I don't think you
couldn't
knew
finish
where...
it. So
you couldn't. Oh, no. That's too bad. It's really great. Mm. To me, it is. You know, they had a real story to tell there, and just amazing characters to build, and oh man, it just went in so many places. It was like surprising to me every time. But you got bored.
I guess I don't know what happened. I just I kind of stopped watching it. I mean, I was watching it up to a point, and then I just stopped watching it, and I never started watching it again.
Well, if it's not for you, then it's not for you.
That's true. That's true. That's very. It's very true.
Everyone's loving the Star Wars Rogue One.
Mm.
I can't get behind it yet. I'm probably gonna go see it.
I'm gonna go see it too.
You know, but I just don't have any.
It feels weird because you're like, well, we know the thing works. Like they get the plans, so
right. And it's like a group of people, and I'm like, okay, well, I can tell from where you are in the poster who dies. You're like, hey, guy that's just hanging on the side there. Hey there.
Hey, Slipknot.
Yeah, how you doing, Slipknot? What's up? You know, there you are. Hey, guy from Magnificent Seven who's just in the back there. Okay. Hey, character guy that we sort of like who's second to the lead. You know, well, that's probably going to be the case. And all right, it's fine. You know, you just kind of. With me, it would be nice to have like a Star Wars movie where you just go, you don't know what's coming. You know, the last one was...
Like The Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
Like you don't know what's coming.
You don't know what's coming. Like the last one, Force Awakens, was fine, but it was a remake of Star Wars. You know, almost beat for beat.
Yep.
You know, and to the point where, you know, you get to the end, you're like, well, I know what they're going to have to do. And I was actually going, boy, it'd be nice if they didn't. If they're setting all this up and setting all this up and, you know, and then they don't, would be great. But they did, and it's fine. Well, and here's your steak, sir, with your potatoes, exactly like you asked for.
That's certainly it.
You liked it last time, right, sir? Here it is again.
I mean, that is the problem with The Force Awakens, is that there's no visionary behind The Force Awakens. You know, George Lucas, for all his faults, and there's many, he's a lazy man. Those prequels all suffer from lazy-itis, you know. But for all that, at least he takes chances, has an imagination, goes places you don't expect. You may not want to go there either, but you don't expect to go there.
You didn't expect Space Diner.
But then, Dexter Jester, or whatever his name is. Dexter Jexter, whatever.
Sit down, buddy. I'm going to.
Why do you have a 50s diner?
I know. Why do you have a 50s diner? Is a damned good question. You know why you have a 50s diner? So that when you have your Star Wars park, you can have a 50s diner, and it makes sense.
Yeah.
That's why you
I
have that.
I guess that's
that.
It. I just like, there's a scene, like a back behind the scenes bit of footage of. A video of George Lucas, and he's standing and he's staring for like 2 minutes at this little maquette of some sort of you know, model of some creature or whatever, and he's like looking at it from all, examining it from all angles, and just standing there, and everyone's kind of standing around him, like looking expectantly at him as he looks up and down and from underneath and side to side at this thing. I just had this imagine in my mind of him holding like this little diorama of this 50s diner and just looking the same way at this thing, just forever, just up and down. And you know, at no point does he go, why a 50s diner? Like, what?
Because 50s diners meant something to him.
He liked them. It's like physical graffiti, I guess, would be his...
Universal Graffiti.
But that's Universal Graffiti, that movie. It seems... Yeah, it just seems... But, you know... I mean, but here's the terrible truth, and I'm going to steal this from Honest Trailers, who just released Empire Strikes Back one yesterday, I guess.
That Han Solo points too much.
Well, the actor Harrison Ford points too much. That is a common he points in anything he
Get
does.
Get off my plane. Where? That way. Okay, I will.
He never disappoints. But their point was that the film that George Lucas had the least to do with, which is true. Like, if you read, there's a great a diary of the making of the film written by a man, a British PR guy who was hired to be the press liaison during the making of Empire Strikes Back. And he was in Finland while they're shooting there during the biggest ice storm of all time in the history of Finland. That, you know, most of the, it's weird.
And that's saying something for Finland.
And most of the scenes shot for the Haas sequence that involved the actors were shot 20 feet away from the hotel they were staying in because they couldn't get to their actual locations. They just could not get anyone there. But
that's pretty good for the hotel now, eh? If that hotel still exists, you go like, you know, basically you're the Hoth hotel.
I guess
like
so.
That's where Hoth.
Yeah. Oh, right outside this door.
Yeah, it's Hoth.
When the snow is 20 feet deep.
Yep.
But yeah, it's quite interesting. Like, you know, it takes you step, you know, but, and what you, and here's the thing. Like, during the filming, George Lucas was almost never there. Like, he was in California at Industrial Light and Magic, taking care of the special effects side of the film. But it was Gary Kurtz and Irving Kirshner, the director, who did most of the hands-on production of the film. And so it's really interesting to read this journal of
Well, I mean, what George Lucas does is the detail stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. He is, you know, I don't know if he's somewhere on the spectrum or not. I've got that in my mind because there were so many people on the spectrum that we met at the con that it was like, oh, okay, and you're trying to guess, like, what's your thing? What's your angle? What's your, okay, I get it. And then you're attuning. When I see George Lucas and I see, like, something like the prequels, you know, you're right. There are long, dull passages and then extreme amounts of dialogue, extreme amounts of action, but just this brief period of, you know, or you know, it's someone sitting and just explaining absolutely everything, top to bottom. It's a Senate thing. And we're going to tell you fucking everything unedited, the whole motherfucker, the whole thing.
It's just lazy.
Yeah. Well, it's not lazy. It's actually...
It's easy to film. It's easy to film dialogue because all he does are shot. He films on this side. He has two cameras.
Yeah.
And he films the actors on, you know, both sides.
Right.
One camera pointing at one actor, and then he just edits them together.
But you want to, you would go,
sit in your
what's
chair, drink
necessary,
coffee.
And you would trim the rest, right? You would trim the rest of that information in the Senate hearing, for example. But to him, I believe, everything's equally important. There's no difference. And so you get no variation. Mm-hmm. And then you also get that with the actors. When you get Anakin Skywalker as a teenager or whatever talking to Amidala, you know, there's no everything is the same intensity through the whole thing. There's no levels or anything until, you know, he goes completely apeshit angry. You know, it's extreme flipping out or Spock level calm.
But even
everyone
that is
just that.
But even that is over the top. Like, who there did not look at that character and go, are you okay? Like, you look really rough. Like, what's with your eyes? You're really looking... No one says anything to this guy who's clearly demented, you know? Like, losing it. You think one Jedi, these people who are supposedly, like, so empathic and can, you know, have the Force and all this understanding, and this guy's just walking around in their midst. He's obviously falling apart, having a nervous breakdown, and they don't say anything.
But he's socially awkward. And like, I believe George Lucas probably himself is socially awkward, and occasionally he'll have probably outbursts. I'm assuming a lot of stuff here, you know. So, you know, you got a guy like Anakin who, he's just awkward, and his best friend's the cool cat because the cool cat wants to hang around with the awkward guy, and the cool cat ain't gonna call out the awkward guy, but because, you know, plot wise we got to get to it. At one point they're gonna snap and lose it, and he's just gonna go on a murder spree because he has to, but we don't really get there emotionally. But he just does because that's what the plot says he has to do.
It's funny that you read it the way, because I don't see Anakin's character as being like the awkward guy. I mean, he's the cool guy. He's the guy who takes chances.
When is he cool?
Well, like, he's the risk taker. He's the guy who, although by saying that, of course, then we see Obi-Wan Kenobi act in the total opposite of how his character was established in the Phantom Menace and jump out a window onto some robot flying thing.
I never feel like air. Anakin ever looks like he's cool and in charge. He's angry, and then he's, you know, he does get stuff done, but he always feels, he never feels like, you know, yeah. You know, aside from, you know, he enjoyed his pod racing, you know, when he was a young man.
Yippee!
Yeah, yippee. But then things aren't fun for him. He's just always, you know, got like a stone in his shoe for the rest of the movies. And, you know, which is a drag because you know, if you're going to get a character too evil, you want to start him.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's a misreading of how you.
Yeah, you got to Walter White that guy off the top so we can get to, you know, Heisenberg later on. You gotta do it that way. But yeah, Rogue One, I'm sure it'll be fine. And you know, there's already people dressing as the character, and you know, people will like it, and it will be exciting, and people seem to really like it. So that's,
when you say
cool.
People, do you mean people?
I mean people. I mean the reviews have been good. People I know who have seen it have really liked it. And they all go, shut up about the secrets. Don't say any spoilers. Okay. So there's some twists, and so that's nice.
That sounds pretty well. It sounds interesting. I'm the director of the next Star Wars, Rian Johnson, is someone I think has done some good films, notably Brick and Looper. And so I'm interested in what he's going to bring to this franchise. But then I use the terrible word franchise, because what Star Wars has become now, that George Lucas sold it to what he called the Evil Empire. Oh no, what did he call them? Oh, he had some name for them. A true name, but not a nice word for. But yeah, anyway, so
for a couple of billion dollars, those evil people that gave you a couple of billion dollars. Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, but I think he sold it out of spite. Like, I think he's tired of people mocking his efforts, and so he's just kind of like, well, you think I do a bad job? This is what you get now. Look out, everyone. You want to see your...
Do you think it hurt him? You want to see... People didn't like Jar Jar and the like?
I do think that hurt him, yeah.
Huh, okay.
You don't think so?
I don't know. I don't know if he feels things that way.
Yeah, I think all people who are artists are thin-skinned to some degree. I mean, there's a reason why he says now that he's making experimental films only for himself, and he's not going to release them.
Well, you could look at it that way, as he didn't like what people's reactions were, or you could look at what he likes is just making this shit. Like, he likes looking at the action figure and turning it sideways and shooting a thing, and the drag is then when you've got a studio or someone else going, hey, you should cut that or do this, or, you know, people would like it more. I don't care what people like. I want to make the thing I want to fucking make.
Yeah.
You know, when he made Star Wars, no one wanted to see Star Wars. That was a horrible idea.
That's true.
And then it just flukety-duked, you know.
I don't think it was a fluke. I think
there was a lot of luck.
And I don't think people didn't want to see it. I think there are people who, I think it was hard to imagine what it was, because it was so ahead of its time in terms of its technology that no one could quite visualize what he saw in his head, and what he was able to, through, you know, amazing people that worked around him, what he was able to bring to the screen.
What was it? Was he trying to get the rights to Buck Rogers or Flash Gordon, and then he couldn't?
I'm not sure.
It was one of those two.
Okay.
And so because he couldn't get the rights to Buck Rogers, he made his own thing, and people were like, ugh, well, good luck with that. But he did, you know, like he did with...
had support.
But like he did with Spielberg with the Indiana Jones movies, Raiders, you know, he was doing the serials, right?
Yeah.
Like he was lifting directly, they were lifting directly from the serials and the pacing. And with Buck Rogers, he was lifting directly from Buck Rogers.
Yeah. Only they were way more talented than the people who made the original.
Well, the technology had gotten... Yeah, he was surrounded himself by people who could deliver and make it look way better. Mm-hmm. But then as the movies progress... You know, to Empire and what have you. You know, when you're getting the, you know, I'm your father.
I wouldn't call it a progression.
Your sister, he's been here for years. so you can look and go clearly, and maybe I'm wrong, but I'm not. He didn't know that Darth Vader was Luke's dad.
That was
the sister was that. He didn't know all these connections and shit.
Because he didn't write that screenplay.
Of course not, because it wasn't important.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it was like, let's go to this crazy bar, and let's get to this area, and let's get to this area, and it's fine. And then with Empire, shit got real, and all of a sudden people could feel pain, you know, and things were real, and emotions were real, and where it was like light, airy fun in the first one.
But if you read
that makes sense for, because he was, because I think with the first one, he was copying what he'd seen before with Buck Rogers and whatever, where you throw a punch, a person gets hit, you go, oh, but you're not bleeding for like the next 5 minutes holding your jaw.
Yeah,
it's like, no, it's just all cartoon violence.
Yeah.
And then the second one.
It's fantasy,
It's real. Shit
gets
real.
It's still fantasy.
Yeah, but shit gets real in the second one.
Realish. It's interesting if you read Lee if you read, you don't have to read the script, I guess, but if you read parts or things about Lee Brackett's original script for Empire Strikes Back, it's pretty cuckoo as well. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting about that is that it's very cuckoo, but I think what, I always want to say she, I'm pretty sure it's a he, but anyway, what
Princess
they,
Leia? She's, it's a she.
Lee Brackett.
Oh, I gotcha.
What they were trying to do was, you know, just whatever thought occurred to them, put it in the script and just be crazy. And we can just kind of narrow this down and you know, sort of edit into something that's more doable, more manageable. But let's just, whatever, let's just have lots of stuff in this. And, but yeah, I'm not going to credit George Lucas with the I'm Your Father sequence. I don't think that was his doing at all. I think he's probably shocked at the idea of that and went, oh, that's a good idea, actually. I'm going to, because
otherwise, why don't they just kill each other? We need something. We need a reason for them to keep fighting into a third movie. Otherwise, it's time for you to come back and, like, get Darth Vader.
Part of that. And, I mean, Empire Strikes Back, basically the end of Empire Strikes Back is the second act low, you know? So you have Star Wars is your first act. Empire Strikes Back is your second act.
Yeah.
And then, unfortunately, Return of the Jedi is a
lot of filler in there.
Bit of a wet squib.
Yeah. I mean, the first one, when you've got, you know, your first hallway scene where the stormtroopers are fighting, you know, the rebels and they're shooting, that's your Western violence. You know, old-timey Western. Sure. A person gets hit and they go, oh, and down, and that's how it is, yeah. Right? And we even get like that again later where they're trying to escape and again the stormtroopers are down the hall and again more hall and jump down the chute and it's a cartoon and it's all cartoon and then happy you get a medal, everything's great.
Yeah.
But then the second one, all of a sudden she's leading things like it's a real battle in, you know, a war.
Yeah.
And everyone's like depressed. No one's like, this is great. Everyone's we're really, I don't know.
Second act.
That's right. Luke's been out there for a long time and he might be dying of exposure. How could he be dying of exposure? You just make things all the more real. And then the third film, it's like, what are we going to do? We're going back to cartoon a bit. In fact, a lot. Mm-hmm. And then we're going back to Saturday morning cartoon by the end with the Ewoks, who you wouldn't have seen in the first movie, or too cartoony for that.
Yeah.
But we're going to try and still keep the dark shit from the second movie with the Darth Vader, Luke plot.
Yeah.
But we got these Ewoks, brother. And it's tough. It's hard. And then how do we get a happy ending after, you know, you kill him? Well, Papadi's a happy ghost. Really? We're doing three happy ghosts hanging out? Okay.
I've never seen that version. Well, I've not seen the updated one.
Doesn't matter. Even if you're looking at the first one, but he's still a happy ghost. Yeah.
That's weird. I don't like that stuff.
Well, what I always think when I see that, you know, people object and go like, oh, so they're all getting to go to Jedi heaven? It's like, no. If you're standing next to Ghost Hitler, you're not on your road to heaven.
Yeah.
They're just stopping by on the way down.
Well, what I like in the first film, what I like, when I saw it as a kid, I didn't think, oh, it's Ghost Obi-Wan Kenobi. I just thought it's this Luke thinking of what Obi-Wan has already told him. And he's just remembering that, and he's using those lessons in that moment. I didn't think, oh, Obi-Wan is talking to him from the great beyond.
Except that Obi-Wan set up, if you kill me, I will come back more powerful than you ever imagined. So, you know, you feel like he's going to come back. So Obi-Wan's already set that up. Yeah. So when he's talking to Luke later, you're like, oh, yeah, he's now Space Ghost.
Yeah, I just, don't like it.
That's fair.
What I think you could say, if you were clever, what you'd do with that idea of Obi-Wan is that you see the Force as you have an avatar of the Force. So someone who's personally meaningful to you, you see the Force represented by them, if you know what I mean, right? So if, you know, because Obi-Wan is meaningful to him, that's who he sees as some sort of embodiment of his idea, of his need to know things, right? To go to Dagobah and stuff like that. But obviously, the third movie kind of wrecks everything.
Yeah, you want like a...
Wrecked it all.
Again, you don't want this because you want Luke to be the one to blow up the Death Star. But it really does feel like if Obi-Wan's going, hey, kill me, I'm coming back powerful. Oh, yeah, they're dead. Okay, well, now you're shooting this thing that keeps missing. And you're like, Obi-Wan's ghost just goes, grab, push, boom. Yeah, what did I just say?
Yeah.
What did I just say? I'm the Force now. I'm part of the Force. I'm going to help guide these, space balls into the space hole, and there you are.
All right. Well, we'll both see Rogue... What's it called, Rogue One? We'll both see Rogue One,
mm-hmm.
and then we will report back.
Okay.
Report back here. I'm going to try and see it this weekend.
Yeah, that's probably what we're going to do, too.
Because I was working crazily on a deadline, which is why I haven't done any title cards for the last little while. I've just been completely hammering away at this deadline that I thought was for December the 15th.
And what did you learn?
I found out it was January 31st.
Oh.
So
yeah. Were you upset or were you glad when you found that out?
I was glad because I wasn't going to make it. So I was like, oh my God, this is terrible. I was up last night and then I thought I should check my emails and see when this is due.
Yeah, my wife Pia just finished a deadline. She's been working so hard for so many months on this thing.
Yes,
And just got it off. And then this is the elephant in the room. And then yesterday night, we got broken into in our house.
Okay.
And her iPad, which she was doing all the art on, you know, luckily she had sent it already off.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, that, among other things, got taken.
Fuckers.
Yeah. Yeah, they tried all the windows and found one and got in and yeah, it was my I was working at the office. My wife and my sister-in-law came home and they opened the door and they saw that the back door was open to the house.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is scary.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we still had our bags on the floor from the trip.
Yeah.
And they were all scattered. So everything was scattered.
Yeah.
What they'd done was they'd emptied one of the bags and they, sorry, I got to sneeze, which I will do right now. And there we go.
Double threat.
Yep. They had emptied one of the bags to put things in.
Okay.
So, you know, lazy fuckers didn't even bring their own satchel.
But
the back door was open, and so the worry was that our cat Charlie got out.
Yeah.
You know, as we know, my cat Charlie has cancer, and he's very sick right now. So, you know, we set up a little tent for him on our bed, and she went to check, and he was not in the tent. And so she went out, and she was, like, yelling for him, and there was a really big panic, but found him hiding under the bed.
Oh,
so, good. Yeah, so these people... or person came in and stole a bunch of stuff from one room specifically.
Yeah.
What we feel is that my wife and sister surprised them, and so they took off.
Yeah.
Left the back door open, and I actually took it fairly okay because when Pia called me about it. Sorry, I'm a little shaky about this.
Yeah.
When she called me about it, you know, I was asking, so is Charlie okay? And it's like, yes, he's okay. I was like, all right. And then when I got there, you know, it was like they took stuff from this room, and that was a real pain in the ass because there was like all this art that was still that she had, and there's some really precious pictures that we had on there too that we hadn't uploaded yet, and especially, you know, in this last year where we've lost, you know, one of our pets, and in the process of this, you know, there's pictures that you take are kind of sacred now.
Yeah.
So anyway, but I went like, okay, it's just stuff. He's okay. You know, he wasn't in danger. It's okay. And then at one point I go into the bedroom and I notice that this iPod that I had isn't by my bed. Like, it's just the cheapest fucking thing. Like, it's way out of date. It's almost 10 years old.
Yeah.
It's got a frayed cord and they took that. They took that. And when I saw that, I realized they'd been in the bedroom where he was under his little tent.
Yeah.
And that just drove me nuts.
Huh.
The idea that they were in, that this fucker was in the room with him when he was sick and so vulnerable.
Yeah.
I don't care about the stuff. I don't give a shit. But that they were there. Oh, so mad.
Yeah.
So fucking mad at the idea that they could have endangered him in some way. And if they had left, like, earlier and left the door open, he does wander. He would have probably gone out the back, and then he would have froze to death.
Mm.
And, you know, his origin story for us is we got him into Westminster when he was about to freeze to death.
Yeah.
So if that was what
yeah, that would have been
you know, it's just, it's hard to even breathe thinking about it. And the idea that someone was in your place... It's just fuck, you know?
Yeah.
You know, had all this really nice feedback from people, you know, who've been through it, and they talk about how it feels like a violation and you just don't feel safe.
Yeah.
And it's true. And it's the feeling that, you know, they'll, now that they know what's there, they'll come back.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so we don't really feel safe leaving the house alone at all. So we're kind of doing it shifts now. And
okay.
If Pia's going to see Rogue One with Vicky, I'm probably going to stay home and I'll see it with her another time. And it's just that kind of like small difference to your life. It's just like, fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it sucks. Our neighbors were, our upstairs neighbors were there. They didn't hear anything, even though they tried to make their way into three different windows. And they feel really bad about this whole situation too. And then they felt really scared too, like almost they might come back and like try to get into their place. But yeah, so that was last night. And I was actually just too angry to sleep last night. It was just really, I was up like, and I would go, I'm going to get some sleep. And then I was like, no, I'm just too fucking mad. And it was always the image of two things. One, that they took something with my wife's art on it. Mm-hmm. I know that hurt her.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I was just like, fuck. You know, there's some projects we're working on that she just had some doodles and stuff on there. And it was like, fuck. But the real thing was that they endangered my cat.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just red hot furious about that. And that they obviously wouldn't care. They just wanted fast money.
Yeah.
What's it matter? Just fucking take stuff. Doesn't matter. Yeah. So it's that really sucked. Have you ever had anything?
I've never had a break-in at home. Mm-hmm. I'm very, very, very lucky that we live next door to the nosiest woman on earth. And I say that with all due respect because...
It's Gladys Kravitz.
She's always looking out the window whenever I do magic. She's always suspicious. Why is Christopher Columbus at your house? No, this lady.
Let him genocide, just... Gladys.
She just keeps a lookout on the neighborhood.
Yeah, it's good to have.
And I appreciate neighbors. That. I appreciate that.
I'm a nosy neighbor. Pia has, you know, stopped so many fucking crimes.
Yeah.
You know, it's ridiculous. You know, we've called people out who are breaking into cars and doing shit like that. Yeah, absolutely.
So the time for me was when I used to work in the parking lots, I would bring this deck I got for Christmas when I was in grade 11, I guess, like a IKEA kind of ghetto blaster sort of thing. It was a very nice, very nice one.
So this is deck talk, but a different type of deck.
Different type of deck talk. And it was quite nice. It was because I could plug in like my CD. It didn't have a CD player because it was too old for that. But it had an auxiliary in the back that I could plug in like a turntable into it. And I could plug in a CD player into it and stuff like that. So, and it was quite a nice thing. And I used to bring that to work to listen to music. And then I had a bunch of CDs, like a lot of CDs that I'd bring because I worked 8 hours and they'd kind of pile up. So I had all that stuff sitting in my truck. And what happened was I parked downtown and I was getting out of my truck and I kind of got sort of accosted out of nowhere by this guy. And so it made me really nervous. And I quickly like closed my door and then I walked away. And what I did was I forgot to lock it because I was kind of put off by this person's super aggressiveness. And so... So I guess he watched me walk away and then he just went into my truck and stole, you know, and it was kind of like hundreds of dollars worth of CDs because I had CDs that were like part of a box set.
Yeah.
So I didn't have like the whole box set. I had CD 1 and 2 of a 4 CD box set or whatever. And so I had to replace like a lot of stuff. And then I lost this tape deck that my parents had given me that I really liked a lot. And so, you know, it's just kind of one of those terrible things that happen. Before that time, you're like, oh, poor people out in the street, you know. Just trying to get by in this horrible, hard world. And then that happens and you're like, those fucking assholes, kill them all. I'm going to get out there, taxi driver. You know, it's a big wish of rain would come and wash the scum off. You know, you become this totally angry person, you know, because you feel so, so hurt by this, you know. And it really is, you're just hurt by it. You're not, you know, why would someone do this to me? I'm not a mean person, although I didn't give the guy money. But mostly because he was like so aggressive that it kind of scared me. I'm usually pretty fairly generous, not all the time, obviously, but... Yeah, it was, and then what made it even worse, this was at a time, like nowadays, I could like leave my CDs on top of my car and no one would touch them, right? But in those days, they had value. And so, you know, they took them and then they were, you know, so a friend of mine and I, we decided, well, it was actually his idea because he had been broken into as well. And what he did was, he lived in Langley. He went into Langley and killed everyone. It was a very famous case. No, he went in and he went into the pawn shops and he found his CDs that had been pawned there. So he said, well, why don't we just go like along Hastings Street and go through the pawn shops and see if someone sold your CD. And I was like, oh, okay, sure. Well, we didn't find the CDs, but it was the most depressing walk of my life. Like just, you know, you're walking through all these pawn shops through this area that's pretty much like Hastings. Yeah. Here in Vancouver, people who aren't local, Hastings Street, it's kind of like the sort of the where all the addicts and everyone, all these unfortunate sort of wash up in this one area. And so, you know, there's a lot of petty crime. And so you'd go into these pawn shops and they have like, they didn't even have like CDs. They had CD wallets with CDs in them. So they obviously were stolen because they were just, someone had them in their car, you know, a CD wallet with some CDs tucked into it. And then some jerk broke into the car, stole these, and then sold them to this pawn shop. The pawn shop, well, I guess dishonest people would come and go like, oh, I'd like a CD wallet full of Tragically Hip and whatever else corny stuff was on there. So, you know, like, it's just so maddening then because you're like, well, this is obviously stolen. Like, doesn't anyone care? Is there no one who, anyone, you know, just every store I went into, I was so mad. All these construction tools and stuff like that that clearly were taken out of pickup trucks, and you know, people's livelihoods stolen out of their trucks.
That was one thing I had to give like the guy, the captain back in the day, was like, there was nothing stolen at his place, and it was like a big deal to him.
Yeah.
You know, nope, we're not doing any of that. And you know, he's a real cold stone sober fella, and you know, was like, nope, and had to, you know, this real ethical guidelines for all that kind of thing. So when you went to his shop, you felt, okay, there's some stuff. But yeah, most of them you go, oh, come on.
Yes.
You're as bad as the people that broke into my fucking place.
Yeah.
Because you're the reason that they can sell this shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're the fence. And it's just, yeah. Yeah.
I walked from one end of Hastings to the other going through every pawn shop. And we didn't find anything.
We were thinking of doing that too. But, you know, the stuff that we've got, it doesn't make sense.
Well, I talked to someone after, and they said that most things that are stolen here will turn up in another part of Canada.
Yeah.
They just kind of go into some sort of underground line and end up.
Well, shortly after, about almost the exact same time, as our thing was going on Commercial Street, there was a B&E and a guy got caught, you know, and the canine got him, and they had to call an ambulance and this kind of stuff.
Mm.
And, you know, there was a bit of me that was like, check his shoes. Because this was a weird thing. On the back window, there's a full footprint on the window, like flat against the window at about just above waist height.
So like he tried to kick it open or something?
I don't know. Like that doesn't even make sense, because you wouldn't get that kind of footprint. It's like he was just pushing against it with his foot, to brace something while he was doing something else. And you're like, oh, well, there's his shoe print. Okay. So they did send someone over to check that out. And it matched the ones in the front with how he got in and. It's you know, they did.
So the police came over.
Oh yeah.
That's nice, because quite often they don't anymore. You know, they're kind of like, well, can we do?
No, and they took it seriously, and you know, they you know he was straight with us and was like, yeah, we probably won't be able to get this back, but we're going to, you know, they left actually a pretty good fingerprint on a couple of fingerprints on the TV. Because they didn't take the TV, but they did push the TV aside to get stuff that was behind the TV, leaving prints on the front.
Okay.
What we've heard that people do sometimes, and Pia noticed that, like, looked like her sock drawer had been opened. Like, well, what's the deal with that? Do you think there's jewelry or stuff in there?
Yeah.
But what they do is they go to a sock drawer, they open it, they put on socks, and then they use the socks to, you know, cover up the fingerprints. Mm. Well, like, bring your own fucking socks. It's weird.
Yeah.
I don't know how you do your job, fucking thieves. I don't know how you do your thing.
It's very, it's.
It just bugs me.
You won't hate someone as much as you hate this person for a long time.
Yeah, it's...
Because you do feel that way, right? I mean, it's a real... It's weird, like...
It's weird. It's not hate. You know, hate's the wrong term. But I'm angry. Like, it's like, I'm not angry at that, even at that person.
Mm.
I'm just fucking furious that the situation occurred where this person, who I will call a piece of garbage right now, just because, you know, he was
but you don't hate him.
He was endangering. No,
he's a fucker and a piece of garbage. But I just want to say, I mean that in all respect.
It's a weird thing, because there are people that I hate.
Yeah,
there's people who have actively hurt people in my life.
Yeah,
you know, that I feel a real hate for, because there was malice in what they did, and you know, I mean, this is almost like after this, it was weird, because we heard like about four coyotes in the neighborhood.
Mm.
Like, they were all together, and they were all screaming.
Wow.
And it was weird. And it almost felt like that. It was just like, oh, Jesus. Well, you got to get those fucking things out of here. And and if they'd eaten my cat, I would have been furious at them.
Yeah.
But it's not... I wouldn't hate the fucking coyotes. You know,
that's just different. Coyotes don't act with intention. They are animals who have
I guess that's what I feel, though, about whatever the fucking thieves are, is like, you know, if we found these people, you're going to find... people that are about as low as you can go with how they are. This isn't anyone who's like, I'm living the high life, stealing your video games and this. You know, I'm risking all this for a couple of $100.
But yeah, this isn't Raffles you're dealing with. You know, he's not a gentleman thief.
That's right. Yeah. You know, it's like this guy, you know, whoever it is, you know, this guy's got shit life completely.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to like build up a big hate on for the guy that he endangered, you know, animal that I loved. Yeah, I'm furious about that situation. But he didn't go in going, I want to hurt an animal.
Yeah.
He went in, you know, going, oh, I'm going to grab this stuff. And he just saw cash and he saw the immediate thing and took the shit and heard something, was scared and fucked off and, you know, didn't stick around to hurt, you know, my wife or sister. You know, there was no, you know, there was none of that. Again, it could have been much, much, much worse. I don't know. Hate's a weird fucking thing. I hate the situation, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm furious about the fucking situation. It makes me sick with rage. But, maybe I'll hate him if you want. I don't know. Yeah. I'd like them to be caught.
Maybe I should say you're angry. You're so angry. Because I was very angry at this person because I knew who did it, and you're just so mad.
Isn't it weird? You know that you've got that thing inside you that can turn off the thing that says, well, this is wrong. Or at least to the point where it's just like, it's the impulse to get the stuff and make the money or whatever it is, or even just to get the stuff, you know, is greater than your empathy for the people that have the stuff, or you just don't connect in any way with the people whose stuff this is. I mean, the guy who's stealing your CDs is not thinking, oh, that guy's really going to miss these CDs. He's not. He's just thinking CDs take, go, you know.
Mm-hmm. No, but I grew up with someone who was kind of that, wired that way already, so I'm used to it.
And I know people like that too, you know, that there's just something wrong, a couple of keys missing on the piano, you know, that's like, they just don't have that feeling, you know, and if they can take something, they feel like they should.
Yeah.
It's foolish not to.
It's not always that they lack empathy, it's often they lack impulse control, and so they act impulsively, and I'm sure they regret it, but often they're angry at you for your part of what they did.
Yeah.
Even though you didn't do very much.
Yeah, you deserve to have this happen to you.
It's your fault. Yeah. You left your keys in a drawer where I could find them so I could steal your car. So it's your fault. You know, okay. What can you say to that, right? But that's, you know, people can justify whatever they do. So
yeah, it'll be denial and justification. You could catch them in the mid-act and they'd be like, I'm not doing nothing. What? Oh, yeah, what? What are you talking about? Yeah. No, nothing. No, not at all. I mean, we've caught people stealing bikes. Like, just stealing bikes. Yeah. Like, you know, taking a bike that was attached to a bus stop, and they've, like, unscrewed the bottom of the bus stop, and they've lifted the entire bus stop off to steal the bike. And when we've caught them, you know, like, what? What? Nothing. It's my bike.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, is it? Yeah, it's my bike. Are you sure it's your bike? I don't think it's your bike. No, it's my bike. Oh, why are you walking away from your bike then? Why are you leaving your bike alone there? Your bike could get stolen by someone. There's thieves in the area.
Yeah, the same thing. I stopped the person who was taking a bike, and I said, what are you doing? And they said, it's my bike. Well, I know it's not your bike, so why would you? But, you know, they have no other...
It's been such a weird week. Like, it's weird that I'm putting all this shit together, but it's like two days earlier, we'd had a scare with Charlie, you know, where, you know, we'd come home from, like, the really exhausting long flight, running,
marathon,
you know, we're
run.
Not going to make it. Yep. Here we go. And then we, like, spend the night, and we're really tired, and it's nice, and sleeping with him, and it's very nice. And then in the morning, we wake up, and Pia gets up a little bit before me, and she comes in and goes, I think something's wrong. And I'm like, what? And he's walking a little bit, you know, he's got something with his mouth. And then we see that, you know, we think he's drooling, but he's not drooling, he's bleeding.
Oh.
His mouth is full of blood. And so, you know, I'm picking it up, I'm wiping his mouth while she calls the vet. And one of the signs that we're kind of getting near the end with him is, you know, if he's bleeding.
Yeah.
We've been told basically, like, when he goes, it will be fast and obvious.
Okay.
You know, it's not going to be a slow thing like our last guy. It's going to be fast and it's going to be obvious. So we're like we, and I'm there, and, you know, I'm just out of bed. So I'm like shirtless, and I'm holding him, and I take him to the bathroom, and I'm sorry, I'm getting a little choked.
Yeah.
And he's just looking at me with real trusting eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he knows what I can do. And I'm just covered in blood. Like, I am covered in fucking blood, like I'm in a horror movie.
Yeah.
And I'm just wiping him and trying to clean him. And say the vet can get him in an hour and whatever. And then he stops. He stops bleeding. And we take him to the vet. And it actually turns out to be okay. It was something got nicked.
Oh.
And the vet was saying, this happens sometimes where, you know, so often a dog will bite its tongue and will come in and just be pouring blood out of its mouth. And you think, well, this is the last days of the dog, but it's just the mouth is a very bleedy area.
Okay.
So the interesting thing was when we took him to the vet, and I think we took him before, you know, he needed to do something before we left. And so we took him to the vet, and we were holding him in the waiting room, and he decides to poop while he's in our arm, and we don't notice that until it's like hitting the floor. Ooh. We're like, gah! And have to take him to the little bathroom, and that took away the kind of tension, was just having to deal with that.
He
actually made for some laughs and some shtick, but just being with him, you know, with the blood and everything, is something I keep flashing back to, and it's really jarring.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I kind of am connected to that when I'm feeling he's so vulnerable right now. So when this thing happened with the thing, there's that. But there was another thing that happened, like, later that night. I took a bus, and I was going up the street, and I ran into a person I knew on the bus, and then he left, and I sat down on the bus, and then I heard kind of something behind me. I had my earbuds in, and I heard just, hey, fucker. I'm like, okay. But that's just bus shit.
Yeah,
so you ignore that stuff.
Sure.
But then two young people, as they were leaving, were like, hey, 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 to me, trying to get my attention. And they were, like, looking at me with, like, big smiles, like, hey, hey, how you doing? And they're backing out and like, hey, buddy, yeah, fuck you. Fuck you. And they were trying to pick a fight with me. They were just trying to goad me into a fight. And I was like, what the hell is this about? And they were just laughing as they were doing it. And then they laughed and left. And it was just this, well, that's really weird.
That
I'm looking around like, what's going on? Have they been trying to do this with me, but I haven't heard them for, like, blocks?
Yeah.
And everyone's just minding their own business and their heads are down.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, what's that? What's that about? And then a little bit later on, there was another bus that I was getting onto. And there was, you get on the bus unless someone's coming off, you know, first, and you let them off first in a wheelchair or whatever, or baby carriage. And so a baby carriage was coming. And I was like, okay, so I'm backing off. And there's this gigantic guy, huge, who seems really mean, and his baby carriage is kind of full of beer. And so I'm backing away, and the guy's like, you know, first I get on the bus, he's like, no, I get off the bus. I'm like, okay. So getting off the bus, but he can't get the carriage off the bus. So I'm saying, do you want a hand? And he's like, oh, you better. I'm like, okay. So I'm helping. You better be careful with that. And like, all right. So get it off. And, you know, then he silently swims off. And the bus driver's like, oh, man, thank you for that. Could have been really, really ugly. I'm like, okay. So like two really weird bus experiences making me think of like, you know, well, this neighborhood's, fuck this goddamn neighborhood. You know, like I've moved three blocks or four blocks down the hill.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the neighborhood went shit.
Yeah.
Shit. Four blocks fucking different shit. So when the break-in happened, it was just like, ah, fuck.
Yeah.
You know, stop playing this. Just stop being a stereotype. All this shit on the bus. Seriously, you're doing that? This garbage? Huh. This is just stupid. If you saw this in a movie, you'd go, what? This is the dumbest. So dumb. So, so dumb. This has been my week.
Yeah. You've
so
had a...
fuck.
Yeah.
I'm going to go do some improv tonight.
That's good. Good
yeah.
for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, two days ago, we have a lot of ice at work because it's very cold here right now. And we're not used to cold, people. We don't like cold.
Nope.
I live in Vancouver because it's a temperate rainforest.
Yeah.
That's why I like it here. It rains and it's temperate. That's what I want.
If things froze and everyone went out looking for salt and it's all gone.
Yeah.
And so everyone went out and got cat litter. And so now there's no cat litter because everyone used cat litter because they ran out of salt.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I shoveled early and got rid of it. That's how you do that. But anyway, thing at work where the problem is we did push the snow out of the way of like our main area, but then it melts because the sun comes out during the day and it gets above zero.
Yeah.
And then it melts and then
ice.
Nighttime it gets cold again and then it's just like this skating rink. So I was walking across the yard to go get some stuff for a dunnage wrap and I realized I'm walking on this ice and it's really deep. I'm like, holy cow, is this slippery? And I kind of moved my foot like, how slippery is this? And I just went whoop and went crashing down onto the ice. And the bad thing was is I landed on my tape measure because we have to wear a pouch with our tools, our X-Acto knife and pens and our tape measure on it. And so I landed on that on my thigh and I got a nice Charlie horse from that. So I've been limping around like old man Dedrick the last couple of days just because, and you'll see it when I get up because what's worse is when I'm sitting down and then I have to get up and try and move around because I hurt my knee. Playing volleyball. And then I doubled down on that by hurting my thigh.
These are all very Canadian injuries.
And then today I banged my shin on this stupid thing. And I changed out of my work clothes before I left work. And my sock was all red from the blood. It's like, oh boy, this leg is not liking me this week. So I'm going to agree with you. This is a terrible year, everyone. 2016, I don't like it.
Yeah.
Make me fall down.
I
didn't fall down in 2015, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, we don't have much time because I do have to split.
Oh,
but like, I want to ask your opinion on something really fast. We were going to do another thing, but I guess we'll do that next time. I had a person online who was saying, you know, not liking the people going, it's a lousy year, all this kind of year stuff. And they said, you know, basically, you know, maybe it's because you're a sad sack, you know, to people who are feeling that. I'm like, okay, that's nice. But you know, that's an opinion. You take an opinion.
Sure.
But he said that he felt that people who were dismissing the whole year, you know, it's like, oh, this is a really shitty year and this thing, were being cynical. And to me, that seemed like the wrong use of the word cynical. Like, I've always think of cynical as projecting what's going to happen in the future. Like, oh, well, this is going to happen. But, like, can you be cynical about the past? Does that make sense?
I guess you could. I mean, because being cynical is more an attitude than it is a
like, I guess you
outlook.
Could go, like, I guess it was going to always happen. I guess that's the way that had to happen. Is that being cynical?
I guess I think the way he's thinking of cynical is that people are cherry picking the bad moments and forgetting that the year also had good things. So we had some bad things happen and we had good things happen, just like any other year.
Right.
And this year, you know, we had several people who were aged die. Mm-hmm. You know,
some that weren't that aged, but yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so like we've had several people of note, like David Bowie and stuff like that.
But
you know.
Prince was not aged.
Prince wasn't. No,
you
he
know,
wasn't
Gary
that old,
Shandling
yeah.
was not aged.
He was getting up there, was he?
Gary Shandling?
Yeah. How old was Gary Shandling?
Like late 50s, maybe.
Really? He did not look very healthy, though.
Okay.
But yeah.
No, he had a disease for sure. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean it's.
The weird thing
it's
is,
terrible,
I know that because he basically had the same disease that my cat did. My
oh, really?
Cat, yeah, August
oh,
did.
Wow,
yeah, it was
wow.
very similar.
Interesting. I didn't know he was a cat.
Yes, he was a cat.
I didn't realize Gary Shandling.
Yeah, Gary Shandling was
now
a cat.
Now it all makes sense.
He would actually make a pretty good cat. But it's again, it's a weird, it's yes. I disagree with my friend saying this stuff because, you know, I think like if someone says, you know, something, I really had a terrible week.
Yeah.
Did you? Was the whole week terrible?
Yeah, I know.
You know, you just
thing.
Go, no, you go like, oh, tell me about it, brother. Yeah. How was your week? You know, you
exactly.
Go,
yeah. You don't turn it around on them. And
was
or
every
this.
Day bad?
Yeah.
How about Wednesday? Well, let's look at it. Didn't you say you had a nice day Wednesday?
Yeah.
So let's all just look at, turn the fuck you.
Yeah. Turn it's your just, frown it's just, down.
Yeah. Turn your frown up your
you're
ass.
Being very cynical.
That's right.
You know, David Bowie died this year and we lost Prince. But you know, Beyonce's album Lemonade came out. So it can't be a totally bad year.
When life gives you lemons, Beyonce
makes
lemonade.
But at the same time, you're like, but that album's about the fact that her husband cheated on her. So is that a good year for her?
Yeah.
Like, come on, man.
Yeah. Hey, man, on the good side of things, Trump isn't hosting The Apprentice anymore. Maybe it'll be a great season for that show. I mean, it's an upgrade getting Arnold Schwarzenegger as the host.
Right.
So you got to give it to him.
You're
anyway.
Right. You're right.
Folks,
right.
What do you think of Everything and Everything? By the way, let me just say, by the way, everyone.
This is the most abrupt ending we've ever had.
Everyone
for this show.
That like sent in nice things last night and talked. To me, talk me down.
Yeah, talk you off the
you
ledge.
Know, talk me well.
He's on. You live
know,
in the first.
Talk me
off
the
first
ledge.
Story window. You're.
I don't think you talk. I don't think you talk people off the ledge. What you do is you sit down on the ledge with them and just go, yeah, tell me about it.
Yeah,
like let's just have a sit down on the ledge. They were very very nice. So thank you to everyone who did that, and a lot of them were listeners of the show. So thanks so much. We'd like to hear from you, and boy howdy, we have got so many stupid ways of doing that. Let's just go in order of dumbness.
We should narrow them down.
One, message boards on our website.
What?
Oh boy, what year is this that I'm doing that nonsense? God damn it. SneakyDragon.com.
Yes.
That's where all
it's
of our
website.
Episodes
we have are. To have a website, otherwise the show wouldn't be available.
That's true. But there's little areas underneath each episode for you to talk, and we will talk to you back.
Yeah. Yes, we will.
That's what we'll do. You're on Facebook anyway. Don't deny it. Even those of you that aren't on Facebook.
Yeah.
You're on Facebook.
Is that right?
You know who I'm talking about.
They don't know they're on Facebook.
They are on Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're on Facebook because you want to know why?
Mm.
Because if I post something on Facebook, later I see them. They go, how about that thing? I'm like, oh, that thing was just on Facebook. That you're not on Facebook. Apparently you're on Facebook. Anyway, we've got a page on Facebook.
Creepers.
So if you're there, why not check it out, post something, and like it.
Yes.
You can like your own thing or you can like the page.
Yeah.
If you're on Twitter, we're at @Sneaky_Dragon. Occasionally we post stuff there. That's kind of fun. So go there. We also post stuff on Facebook. We also post stuff on the webpage. All the same stuff? No, you'd think that's what we do. That would make sense. But no, it's random different shit.
Yeah, it's true enough.
So,
did you see the video for that Cher commercial that I was trying to describe?
Yes.
I was wrong in how the song went. I was right in the tune, but wrong in how it went. But
it's nice to share.
Yeah,
they were sharing
nice
a kaleidoscope.
Yeah.
Did you see that families can go to the dogs thing that I put on Facebook?
No,
you did not, because you don't check our Facebook page out.
I've been trying to, because I've been so busy.
Yeah.
Because I've been so busy
trying to
meet this imaginary
when
deadline.
When you get a chance, go to our Facebook page and look at some
of
those
I've been trying to not
videos.
Go on Facebook. I've been so
right.
trying to be good.
Also, we're on Tumblr. That's sneakydragon.tumblr. Is it .com?
I really don't know.
Sure. And,
did you know it's owned by Yahoo?
I did not know that.
Tumblr is owned by
apparently,
Yahoo.
If you're on Yahoo, you should change your password. Now I've been told. By the way, I had to change all my passwords because we had
that's right,
computer stuff stolen. So
shit.
There
fuckers.
You are. If you want to email
now
us.
Now they know the name of your old pet.
If, oh my God, that was a bad idea. No, I don't use that.
Ooh, narrow it down now.
That's right. You know what? I named my pet after my mom's maiden name. Was that a bad idea?
That's an interesting thing to do.
Yeah.
I named my pet after my first school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hard Knocks?
The School of Hard Knocks.
Hey, Hard Knocks. Come here, Hard Knocks.
Hard Knocks.
If you want to email us, Knoxy. We're at sneakyd at
sneakydragon. That's a good name for a dog, actually.
All right,
Knox.
But we got, you know what's also good is to Knox. Give your email address.
Oh, sorry.
Sneakyd at sneakydragon.com. That is sneakyd at sneakydragon.com. Some of you have been giving us money on Patreon, and by gosh, thank you so much for that.
Should we say who does that?
If you want.
I don't have a list.
A secret
but...
thing. I don't know if that's a classy thing to do. You know what? Let's next week, we'll say thank you to the people who have given us money on Patreon.
Okay.
Unless you don't want to be thanked.
Yeah. If it's
then email us and say, don't thank me.
Okay. Secret donator.
That's right. Secret Santa.
Secret Santa. So it's Christmas time. It's time to thank people for being nice.
That's right. All right, folks. So that brings us to the end. I've got to go do the Critical Hit Show. We're doing it early this month. Do I want to do it tonight? I don't.
No?
I want to just go home. I want to go home. I want to just go home and watch Dirk Gently. Do I like Dirk Gently? I don't know if I do, but I've been just compulsively watching it lately.
I haven't watched it yet. Do you know why? Because I had a fake deadline.
Yeah, and it goes interesting places. I think the...
Well, I enjoyed the books by Douglas Adams.
It's nothing to do with them. So the name is the same.
Okay.
When I get to the end of it, maybe I'll say what I thought of it.
Okay.
And when you get to the end of Ash versus Evil Dead, we can talk
I'll
about
see
that
what
too.
I thought of that.
Oh, man, the last two episodes. Very fun.
I think I'm pretty close to it.
Yeah, it's fun. that brings our show to an end. Thank you so much for listening to our nonsense. And what have you. We really do appreciate it. Dave, maybe a little more than I do, because I'm angry still. But I've been Ian Boothby.
I've been David Dedrick.
Thank you for your kind attention. This has been Sneaky Dragon, episode...
That's true.
To the butts, that's the problem.
That's the problem.
Once you get to that, it just goes too far. I'll just take a little nap now.